We're talking about the 30 imperatives every parent needs to go through. And there could be 25, there could be 60, but focusing in and thinking about 30 things I need to think about concerning my child. We can't let other people do our parenting thinking. We have some things we need to accomplish with these children.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. You might be thinking, 30 things, that's a lot. But I mean, you could group them up together and say there's 5 sections or 8 sections, but we're just itemizing them all and creating a list of 30 things. And yesterday, we did go down all 30. So if you want a summary of what they all are, we just tackle them one by one quickly. And we did that on yesterday's program. So if you want to hear it, you can do so online at parentingtoday.org. So number one, what is the number one foundational thing that every parent must do to train their child?
Well, we're going to save that for number two, and we're going to start with a different number one.
Okay.
A number one that's very important is to think through why you're going home to begin with. I think we've forgotten. I think the farmer knew that he knew that he knew that he knew. This farm was for the future. He was working on this farm to hand it off to his kids. And so he knew the things he had to teach them. You and I have a friend named Mario Padrino. Mario has Padrino's restaurants in South Florida. Only. I always got one in Orlando now, too. And one of the things is to set up all these Cuban cuisine restaurants for his kids. Set them up for the future. It's not for now. It's for the future. And Mario lives very frugally to do that. I mean, it's just amazing watching the big picture that he has. I don't think we have a big picture. And I think when I don't have a big picture, when I don't realize everything I'm doing here is for my children, what I tend to do is I tend to finish my day at the office at 6:30, get in the car, and drive home. And I'm exhausted. And I hope the kids don't need any help. And I hope they leave me alone. And I'm absolutely tired. And I'm calling on the way home, and Rosemary might say, I need some help with Roby's whatever. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, do you know how hard I work? And God's wanting to say, this is your work. This is why you go home. Mm. We've got to think through our motivation first. Why are we here? Why do we do this? And it's very, very important to catch the vision of why. Mm-hmm. Because first you know the why, then you know the what. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know the what is very abstract. Why am I here? Why am I going home? If I don't know that, if I haven't established the why in my brain as far as being a person that has children in my home that I helped birth. If I don't think through that, then I tend to think it's keep them quiet by buying them things. Tend to think that it's keep them away from arguing with me by letting them do whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. I know they're spending too much time on the internet, but I'm just tired of dealing with them. Mm-hmm. If I don't have the why I'm here to raise a godly adult. If I don't have that, then I just don't want to be bothered with it. I want to keep them busy. I want to plant them in front of the cyber world or the television world or whatever world. And I just want to come home and plop in a chair and forget it. I'm exhausted. I don't have any brain cells left rather than getting myself tooled up when I go home. You know, it was an interesting thing happened years ago when we had one child and I was exhausted and I got home and I was exhausted and Rosemary said, can you take Tori for, and I begrudgingly said yes and put her in a stroller and took Tori for a thing and I had nothing left. And while I was coming back home, I saw a friend and his wife pull up in the front yard of our house, in front of our house, and seeing this, one of my closest friends, and seeing I got all jacked up and I went in the house and we were having fun and I was excited and everything. And they were there a couple of hours and ate some dinner with us and left. And Rosemary said, did you see what happened there? You had no energy for us when you walked in the house. Mm. But when Mike and Sandy pulled up, all of a sudden it was all different. And you had all this energy, and that was a choice. And you made that choice. And I realized, I've got to make different choices than that. So I think this whole thing of this whole parenting thing is, why am I doing this? And I think there's so many parents today that have lost the why. Mm-hmm. And just subcontracting them out and getting them in the right school. And they don't sit down and ask each other, why did we sign them up for this? And why are we doing this? And let's get back to the basic why. Why are we here? And looking at the why, what is the goal for our kids? It's not a 4.0. It's got to be bigger than that. It's got to be low on the chart. If God knows the plans he has for our kids. And so it's getting the why back in my heart so I come home and start getting juiced up to do the what.
In my family, I have a sister-in-law that's dealing with cancer. And when you, if you know someone that's dealing with that, you know sort of life takes on a whole different perspective, not just for that person, but for everybody around. So we're all looking at our entire families with different lenses too. Wow, we all really do only have so much time here on the earth and only so much time with these kids. A couple of my nephews are already seniors and we're thinking, you know what? All these family birthday parties that we've enjoyed so much together, they're going to be gone soon. And it's almost like all of a sudden the whole family is realizing we got to take advantage. Time is flying by and who knows how long we're going to have on the planet and who knows how long we're going to have the influence we can have on the children. And even in my situation, being a step parent, sharing custody, mm-hmm. my husband and I take advantage we try to take advantage of all the time we have because we don't have the kids all the time.
Yeah.
So it does add a different perspective. But the other side is that you do get tired when you come home. You don't want to hear every single detail about your little girl's best friend and how she
got her. So you have to decide, what will you be glad you did later on? What will you be glad you did, you know, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, next decade? Did you build into your children, even children that we don't have full custody of, did we build into those children that when you're here, I'm listening, I'm consistent and I'm listening. Let me say this again. I'm consistent and I care and I'm listening. There's an intentionality that needs to be even more focused when it's shared custody. But it's a choice. It's a choosing. This is what I was made to do. When I was in ninth grade, my mom had pancreatic cancer. And, you know, I'm old enough that we really didn't understand the whole cancer thing. And I'm from a generation that I think made a huge mistake. You didn't talk to your kids about it either. And so I didn't really know how sick she was. And I didn't know she had a year to live. And I don't know that they knew she had a year to live, but they knew she wasn't getting better. My mom would get up in the morning and be in a great mood and get us up and get us all fed and get us out the door. And I didn't know, and go back to bed and just pass out. She would stay as up as she could for when her boys were there and got them off to school, and get herself up as she could for when we got home at 3:30, and get us through dinner and get us through homework, and then pass out again. And my dad, you know, would do what he could to help. But they had made the decision, and she made the decision. You know, the doctor says probably a year. I want my boys to see me during this year as a mom, not as a sick person. Mm. And so she made a choice to ratchet it up for all she was worth and go after it. I think she made choices. We make choices. Why am I here? We think in the short term, the easy thing is, you know what, whatever it takes here. Yes, you can watch that. Yes, you can do that. And it's the wrong whatever it takes. It ought to be whatever it takes to raise that child to be all he or she can be. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means it's exhausting. And sometimes that means the one who has the need to have your full attention for a full 15 minutes. And watching that one in my life where I would just sit down with that child and give that child total attention for 15 minutes.
And it took every fiber of your being.
Yes, it did. But it was interesting. Once they had it, they were good. They had it. They spilled out the entire day and regurgitated their day all over me. And then as I'm, you know, kind of like, wow. And then they're done. They're okay. And as soon as I realized they were done, hey, come on in the kitchen. Let's help mom get the table set and kind of redirect them. But I think we forget why we're here and we forget why we're here. We get very unintentional about anything other than preserving us rather than raising the next generation, rather than checking on my spouse and see how I can help her tonight. Mm-hmm. So there's some imperatives, and all these imperatives, I will never do these imperatives until I answer the question in my heart, why am I here anyway? And the why I'm here and the mandate that I'm here and the privilege I've been given, which is bizarre. It is bizarre that God lets us have children.
Yeah.
It makes absolutely no sense. If I were God, I wouldn't let me have children. But he lets us have children to impact these children. And really, the children raise us. You realize a new level of sacrifice that you didn't think you had to do, not sure you have in you. It's an amazing phenomenon, starting even with the birth process and what happens to the precious body of a woman. It's very interesting how what she is generally so proud of is gone. And watching this take place and watching what God does and then all of that and how much of you have to give up, and it never ends and it needs to never end. And the challenge, Ruthie, for you in what is truly one of the awesome, unbelievably great ministries is to come in to the ministry of step-parenting when all of a sudden you've arrived and all of a sudden, who are you?
Right.
Yeah. And it's an issue of spending time with your husband and spending time processing. Why are we here? What are we here to do? It's not to buy this and it's not to avoid that. It is to decide we will be intentional about raising this children, and we will look at what are some of the things that are so, so important. Why am I here?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, though, and you speak to the crowd that they've dreamed about a certain kind of career, what kind of people, their God's purpose in their life, per se, and then kids pop in the picture, and it changes everything. And you say, why am I here? We think about our personal purpose in life, but then part of that, it's not an interruption in your life. It's a different chapter in your life where you are all about your kids.
But it's an interruption. What we have been told in the American culture, in my opinion, especially women, we have so punished women with the thought that you can do all things through who strengthens you. Mm-hmm. And you can pursue a career, and you can pursue children, you can pursue marriage and house beautiful, and all these things, and still out of guilt be somewhat active in the PTA because you want to feel like you're a good mom, and your brain cells are gone. I mean, there's nothing.
And you have to wear makeup and high heels.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so.
It's the old Anjali commercial. I mean, she stirs it up in a pan and does it all. I think we've given the American woman a total unbelievable, impossible role. And this woman's liberation movement has imposed this on her. Parenting is a full-time job.
Yeah.
And it's totally, totally, absolutely, and incredibly exhausting. And I've got to decide, and there are many women today that have to work. There's no doubt about that. They have to work. And so if you have to work, you have to work. But I still have to decide what my priority is. It's interesting. There's a church in Georgia that has decided they've really drawn a line in the sand and they're going to do movies. And this church in Georgia is doing movies. And if they're going to, it's like, okay, that we have carved us, and they're on their fourth or fifth now. I don't know which it is. And this new and courageous is as good as anything ever come out of Hollywood. And they have decided to get better and better and better, better at raising movies. Mm-hmm. That's their niche. And I think as a mom and a dad, what am I going to do well? Interesting story along these lines. I was hired back in 1974 by a board of directors here at Sheridan House. And the chairman of the board was a man named Joe Sipple, who worked for IBM. And my dad was an IBMer, an IBM executive. And I was so proud to tell my dad that an IBMer basically hired me here at Sheridan House. And he said, "Who is it?" And I said, "Joe Sipple." And he did a little homework on Joe Sipple. And he called me and said, "You know, that guy, Bobby, he's been given so many opportunities for promotion, and he's turned them all down. And we just can't figure it out." And I asked Mr. Sipple, "You know, my dad," he says, "I know who your dad is. You're Junior, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "Well, your dad and I are different." And I said, "Yeah, he can't figure out why you turned down promotions." And he said, "I turned down promotions because every promotion means a relocation. I have four children, you know, two in middle school, two in high school, and this is the right place for them right now. And mm-hmm. this is the right church, and this is the right youth group. It's not about my career path." Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know everybody tries to justify it by, "But if you make more money, can't you do more for your kids?" No, that's not what it's all about. Being with my kids more. But not only that, not jerking my kids up for my benefit and career, mm-hmm. but being active in my children's life for their benefit and their future. Very important.
But then how about even your own example, growing up, knowing that your calling is here to Sheridan House, you stayed in this ministry also, and you've talked about even the financial struggles that you had, just really working as long as you have here in this ministry and then raising your kids like that. How do you find that balance of, okay, I'm dad, mm-hmm. dad Bob Barnes, but I'm also here at Sheridan House. I've got my calling, but then my ultimate calling is my kids. Where's that balance?
Well, you're right. My ultimate calling is my marriage. My next calling is my kids. And my vocation, and my way of thinking about it, is Sheridan House. Mm-hmm. And I made a mistake the first 10 years here. Well, the first 10 years here, I was here 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, I would even have to do work after church just to catch up. We were a 7-day program. And I really believe there was a verse in there somewhere that said, "If it's to be, it's up to me, and I can do all things through me who strengthens me." And it was a great journey, but I held Sheridan House back. I was working harder, more hours, and I held Sheridan House back. And
how
when
so?
Because I was in the way, and God let me be my own Messiah. Mm. And when I decided, you know what, I've got a family at home, I'm a 10-hour-a-day guy, and I will have a Sabbath, and I will have a day with Rosemary. And when I made that decision after 10 years, that's when God exploded Sheridan House. When I actually tried to work smarter, but refused to put in those hours anymore, and thought, you know, if this is what it takes, Lord, then I think you don't want me here. But I know you want me to be married to Rosemary. And eventually we had kids. I know you want me to be the parent I needed to be. But I was confused like every other parent and thought I need to do all these things and had my dad's thoughts in my head of money makes the world go round and trying to do this and an extra job at the same time and figuring out how do I make all this work? And he's saying, you know, I've given you a priority and it's your marriage and your next priority is your children. And so, yes, there's some specific hours of the day you do have to work. But son, when it's time to go home, go home. And if you can't make the extra meetings, don't make the extra meetings. And if you've got to tell them when they want you to do this at church and that at church and that at church. And I had to decide it's the church's job to keep asking me to do things. You ask busy people to do things because they get it done. But I shouldn't be mad at the church. I should be mad at me. Permission to say no. I have to get very intentional about the ministry God has given Rosemary and I. I'm called to be her spouse. And we have a ministry together that's the legacy we leave, the next generation. Who begat who is the legacy we leave. And so I had to decide it's time to come home and time to do this and then time to focus. And that's when Rosemary and I started sitting down. What do we want for these kids? What do we think God wants for these kids? What's a worthy use of our time? When you come in the house, Bob, if we haven't planned that out, we're just going to plop down and watch whatever. you know, the yesterday's version of VeggieTales or whatever. I don't even remember what that was. But deciding, let's be very intentional with our time. And I think that's been very helpful, being intentional and actually scheduling it in. Decide that as we look at these parenting imperatives, this is worth doing. And it's the most important thing you will ever do.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. For more on Sheridan House Family Ministries, you can go online to shfm.org. And to hear this program again, even yesterday's where we covered all 30 things every parent must do to train their child, you can listen online at parentingtoday.org.